Welcome to the morning show. I'm your host, Phil Huff, and with me this morning, we have a guest, and we're going to talk about weeds. Chuck Bargeron, who's the director and senior public service associate with the Center for Invasive Species and Ecosystem Health out of the Warnell School of Forestry and Natural Resources from the University of Georgia. And boy, that's a mouthful, but welcome to the show, Chuck.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm glad we reached out and glad that we made this connection and we can talk more about what we do and the conference we're having in December.
Yeah, so for our listeners, we're going to be focusing in eventually on the Wild Spotter Invasive Species Training Course that's going to be held here locally in Coeur d'Alene. It's a national conference. It'll be held here in Coeur d'Alene, December 3 to 5. But before we get there, let's get to a bit of background, Chuck, about who you are and more about your role at the University of Georgia and then with the conference.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm the director of the Center for Invasive Species and Ecosystem Health. We usually shorten that to Bugwood. That has been our nickname for a very long time. It's actually because our first two directors, one was an entomologist and one was a forester. And so that's where the Bugwood name came from. And so back in the mid-90s, they started realizing that there was a need to have 35-millimeter slides in a digital format so they could be used in PowerPoint presentations. And so that ultimately became a website where over 300,000 pictures are available free for use. And as we were collecting those pictures and looking at different issues related to forestry and forest health, invasive plants, invasive weeds, but started becoming more and more of an issue in the Southeast. It's always been a larger issue in the Western United States just because of cattle and grazing and those kind of issues. And so, but it wasn't really something we worried about in forest health arenas. And we started realizing as we were in learning more about these invasive plants and invasive weeds that there was not a good place to find out where these things are found. There was a couple of databases out there, but they weren't talking to each other. And so our center is part of what we do, built a system called EdMaps to help track invasive weeds and invasive species across the country. EdMaps has existed for 15 years now. And a few years ago, right before COVID, actually, before all that started, we started a program with the Forest Service called Wild Spotter. And that was a way of thinking about getting the public involved in a way that we had not really thought about before. And so the goal of the Wild Spotter project, initially focused on forest, is to use the public that are out using these public lands to help us really get a good inventory of where these invasive species are, particularly on our public lands. And so that history is what got us to the point that we're having this training workshop this December and continuing to build on that. And so my group, the Bugwood Center, the Center for Invasive Species and Ecosystem Health, is a little unique because, unlike most university centers, we don't teach and we don't do research. We just do outreach and extension work. And so, and a lot of that ends up being information technology tools like smartphone apps and websites. And so, where I'm the director of this center, and I've been with the university for 24 years in different ways. My background's actually in computer science, and by training, my education is computer science, but my day job, I'm an invasive species specialist, and that's because of just the history of this program and how it's evolved and grown. But it also gives me somewhat of a unique perspective as I can think about things the way a non-biologist would think about something.
So growing up, were you naturally attracted to weeds the way that some folks might be to the young ladies love horses, or some folks see the trees and want to be a forester? Did you look across the street at the vacant
I think it was a combination of a few different things. I'm an Eagle Scout, so I grew up camping and being in the outdoors. My father and my grandfather are both woodworkers, and my grandfather was, and my father still is, really skilled woodworkers that work with wood and build reproduction antique furniture. And so it's something I haven't thought about until recently, but it's like all of these pieces. I was always the computer guy, but at the same time, I was, doing a lot of camping and growing up around people that did things with their hands. And so, and I've always enjoyed traveling and seeing, different parts of the country, different parts of the world. And it just, I think when I start seeing things like, okay, chestnut, that used to be one of our key species that furniture was built out of and was used for all kinds of things, getting decimated by an invasive species, then that's when you start going, okay, yeah, this really has an impact on our world. And it's easy for the public to get excited and for news releases to go out about the newest invasive insect or invasive animal that comes out. But there's a lot less we can do about those as individuals than there are the invasive plants. And so I think that's what, to me, the interest in, this program, everything I do is looking at all of it. But the plants are something that we as individuals can do something about a lot easier than some of these other species. And that's by not planting them in your garden and by not, and by removing them when we can from our public places. It's a weird path that I took to get where I'm at, but then at the same time, it's become a passion. And I think that's, not to completely jump ahead to the conference, but that's why we're doing what we're doing with this meeting, is to help find more people that are really passionate about this and help them do a better job of what they want to do in their local communities. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how we got me and my partners on this project got here, is because we spent a lot of time on this, thinking about this and thinking about how as a community we can do things better. And that's why we're doing this conference, so we can, as a community, continue to improve who and what we do.
So your work in the conference, which we'll get to, is focused mostly on invasive plants, weeds. But the center also does work, I would imagine, on other invasive critters. I think particularly important to the West, and where we live on this huge lake, are quagga mussels are in the news again. Zebra mussels, we have mollusks and insects and even, larger fauna that are invasive and, have a huge impact on the environment.
Yeah, I mean, the recent find of quagga mussels in the Snake River, I mean, that's completely changed the focus of what y'all are doing in the state right now, in terms of trying to figure out how to deal with this and limit and contain that infestation. And so where most of what our center does is more on the terrestrial side than it is on the aquatic side. That's just been where more of our focus has been. We do a little bit in the aquatic side, and the Wild Spotter program, the Wild Spotter app, is built where you can report all kinds of invasive species, not just plants. Plants are just, easier because they don't move. I mean, it's easier for somebody to take a picture of a plant, upload it, log it into a database, and then somebody come back to that location and do something about that infestation. And so that's the benefit we have to an invasive plant versus, If it was a python in the Everglades, somebody's going to take a picture of that python, and unless, you know, it's removed, then it's not going to be in the same place when somebody comes back to look for it.
The WildSpotter app sounds like the weed version of maybe something like iNaturalist. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah. So what iNaturalist is a great tool. It is a great platform. But iNaturalist was built for documenting biodiversity. It was not built for documenting invasive species. And so the WildSpotter platform, which is built on the larger EdMaps platform, was designed specifically for documenting invasive species. So in the iNaturalist platform, for example, you can turn your location, you can obscure your location when you report something, because in general, it doesn't matter exactly where you are when you're contributing to this database of biodiversity, because you're just documenting the diverse species that are found in our environment. Well, if you're reporting an invasive plant or even an animal or insect, as we've just talked about, you want to be able to go back to that location. And so your location being obscured actually becomes a huge problem when the land manager wants to go back and do it. So while iNaturalist is a great platform, and we are actually pulling invasive species data from iNaturalist into our EdMaps database, we've also, in doing that, realized some of the shortcomings of iNaturalist for collecting this kind of data. Mm-hmm. So, which is why we have why this app exists, because it does enough different from what iNaturalist does to make it worth existing.
Well, let's move towards the conference that's coming up. We've got the fundamentals, the date, and Coeur d'Alene location. Tell us the goals and the objectives for the WildSpotter invasive species training course.
Yeah, so another long name. That I think that's just something that we do in academia and government, is we have to assign long names to things. But we're really looking for building, it's really the invasive species ambassador. That is the piece of that long name that really is what is important. And so what we've realized is in doing this, and between the three of us that are leading the planning for this, I think I figured we have at least 75 years of experience in this field, and probably a little more than that. We realized that there are things that we are just not doing to the best of our ability as a community. And so we said, let's think about this differently. Let's see what we need to know, how we need to do this so we can be better at it. And so what we've done is assembled a three-day agenda that brings in experts from outside the invasive species world, as well as people that are doing it right inside the invasive species world, to teach not how you identify the plant or the species, not how you manage the species, or, you know, control, spray, whatever chemical. It's not about what chemical you spray on it. It's about how you build capacity around your program by engaging the right stakeholders, by engaging the right partners, by managing your volunteers effectively, by building those relationships and figuring out how, you know, what's going to work in South Georgia is not the same thing that's going to work in Northern Idaho, and figuring that out. And so we want to build both a community of these ambassadors that will have, you know, have colleagues to talk about things with and learn from, as well as training them on these skills. And so the first 2.5 days, they're going to go through, and they're all going to be in one room. They're all going to be in one location and hear all the same talks. And then they're going to break up into small groups, and they're going to be given a scenario about a location and a problem. And then, you know, how do you build your program. You've been hired to do this at Yellowstone National Park, and how do you build the community support you need? How do you build the internal and external relationships to make that program be successful? And so that's why we're doing it. That's what we're hoping to accomplish. Obviously, it's the first time that we've done this, and you know, sometimes it's hard to do things different than it's always been done. But sometimes that's what you really need to do to be successful, and that's what we're aiming with this.
So, are you looking specifically for individuals who are representative of existing organizations, or is this open more broadly to the public
want to
get engaged?
I think that the way we've looked at this, and we've, you know, between the three organizations, we're putting a lot of resources into this to make it, to get the speakers there and to build the agenda and the program and all. There is a registration fee for it, and it's a little over $300. And what that's mainly covering is the food, you know, at the location. But, you know, I think there are the right volunteers that would be good for this. We had thought about doing this where we figured out a way to pay for all of the attendees to come. And we realized that wasn't the best route to go, because there needs to be enough support behind the individual that's coming to this that they're going to be able to implement what they learn. And so if there's not an organization or somebody willing to support somebody's travel and support their registration, then there's probably not going to be enough support for them to implement this program, you know, implement a successful program on the ground. And so, yeah, I mean, it's open to anybody. It's focused on those people that are working locally on the ground to make a difference. And sometimes that's somebody at the state level, but most of the time that's somebody that's working in a particular ecosystem on a particular problem.
So if I'm understanding correctly, it's a combination of people who might work for a land management agency like the Department of Lands in Idaho or the Forest Service, or perhaps it's with a nonprofit organization, one of the native plant societies or organizations like that.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. It's open to both. And our current attendee list is a good mix of both, of people that work at the local level, and that could be for a federal or state agency or county, or but also people that work in the nonprofit world, because all of those different groups are what it takes to make a difference. And when we break the group up into different teams to work on the scenario on the last day, we're going to make sure that each group is diverse in terms of where they're from, as well as from what background and organization they work for. Yep. So they will get a good mix and interaction with their peers.
Without putting too fine tooth a look at this, you mentioned terrestrial species around here. We have an abundant number of lakes, and aquatic invasive species are a problem on both Lake Coeur d'Alene as well as Ponderay and other lakes in the area. I'm assuming there'll be an opportunity to look at that aspect of the invasive species problem.
Yes. So the, there's going to be an overview of what we are doing, you know, of the problem and solutions to the problem in terms of, here's what invasive species management looks like. But this particular training is much geared toward that. And the concepts will work for both terrestrial or aquatics. Going back to my center, most of our work we do is terrestrial, but going back to this training, it's for both aquatic and terrestrial focus.
And longtime listeners will know that myself personally, I've been involved with invasive species efforts with a number of organizations here locally. So I'll say it seems like an idea whose time has long been coming. How did the seed for the conference get started? Where did it germinate, to mix metaphors here?
Yeah, no, I mean, we have so this project, this workshop is myself and my center Mike Ilomini, who is the national program leader for invasive species for the National Forest System for the Forest Service, as well as Steve Manning, who has a private invasive species control company. And so Steve had been holding a conference called Innovations in Invasive Species Management for the last few years. And that conference has been in Nashville, Tennessee, where he's based, a few times. And then in 2019, it was in Coeur d'Alene. And so Steve's conference has been looking at innovative ways to do management. And so as Mike and I were looking at ways to promote and expand the Wild Spotter program that we started, we went to Steve and said, okay, Steve, you've been doing this conference. Why don't we pivot the conference this year? And instead of doing innovations in management, let's look at different ways to do innovations in capacity building, innovations in marketing, and innovations in volunteer recruitment and management. And so, you know, it ended up being a perfect fit. And when you've got three people that have worked together for a very long time in different capacities, and really see what works and what doesn't work and have a good network of collaborators, it was very easy to fill a 3-day agenda with people both inside and outside that we knew would be on point and get the message to the audience that the audience needs as we're doing it. So it was over a lot of time and over a lot of discussion that we said, you know, what's the best way to do this? And finally it was like, oh, well, Steve, you've got a hotel reserved and a couple of boxes checked for this innovations conference. Why don't we pivot that this year and do something different? And so that's how we got, that's why we're in Coeur d'Alene. And yes,
that was anticipating the next question of all the places this might be held. How fortuitous for us locally here is in Coeur d'Alene. But
yeah, and I think what we were looking for, quite honestly, is a place that we could go and everybody could be together. And you know, all the attendees would be staying at the hotel, a place where there was restaurants on site, so you wouldn't have to worry about transportation and some of those kind of things. And so that's why we picked the location we did, for the same reason he picked it 4 years ago for the conference. It was a good place, and people most likely are not coming to Coeur d'Alene in December for a vacation. If they're coming to Coeur d'Alene in December from outside of Idaho, they're probably coming for the meeting. And that's what we wanted the focus to be on, was the meeting, not all the extracurriculars you could do. If we had done it in Florida in December, we would be losing people to the beach.
You know, although if things shape up right with El Nino, it could be a good snow year and the ski resorts will be open.
That's true. As somebody that doesn't ski, that I never think about that part of it. I more worry about the logistics of if there's a bad snowstorm, how we get people there. But yeah.
Well, you have to do a package deal, but we'll talk afterwards about that.
We had an invasive species conference in Florida last year that got moved like 2 weeks after the 2 weeks beforehand or 3 weeks beforehand, because a hurricane directly hit the resort that the conference was supposed to be at. So no matter where you do it, you can always run into obstacles that keep things interesting. So
we've touched nicely on the highlights. Are there things that are happening during the conference that you'd like to go into a little more detail of particular speakers or presentations?
Yeah, and I guess I started looking at the speakers list and thinking about who I wanted to highlight, and it became I became overwhelmed. My list became too long very quickly. But one of the speakers that I'm really excited about is Dan Tompkins, who's coming from New Zealand. And New Zealand has implemented this program called Predator Free 2050, and with a goal to remove, there's no natural predators on New Zealand, and so to remove all of the predators from New Zealand, you know, with a date that's, you know, 25, whatever it is, years into the future. And so you know, part of the branding of this, along with Wild Spotter, is Invasives Free USA. And so we're trying to take this concept that they're doing and being successful with in New Zealand and implement that in the United States. And maybe we're not going to be invasives free for the entire United States in whatever time period we pick, but maybe we take our national forests and our national wildlife refuges and our national parks, you know, and these protected areas, and we try to figure out ways to get the invasive species out of them. And that's where it comes back to the public reporting invasive species, providing the managers with the information about where the species are found in these protected areas, and then we can work on a game plan to protect them. And so, you know, Dan's obviously one of the speakers that I'm really excited about. Ken Donnelly, who's coming from Canada, he's an expert on the psychology of behavior change, and he's done a lot of work in the invasive species world, as well as in other fields, looking at what really makes people change their behavior. Nick Furman, a colleague of mine at the University of Georgia, is coming, and he is going to speak. His whole focus is making teaching fun, and how you do that and how you engage an audience. And so he's going to take that and kind of morph that concept into how it works with invasive species education. Damon Waite, a longtime friend and colleague of mine, who ran a very successful invasive species program in Texas when he was with the Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center, is now the director of the North Carolina Botanical Garden. He's outside of the invasive species world, but he understands it, and he understands fundraising, because that's what a botanical garden director does. So he's going to talk about building that capacity, how you reach out to the people that would be interested in supporting things, and how you raise money. So, you know, and that's just to name a few. I was one of the other speakers is Justin Bush. He runs the Aquatic Invasive Species Program in the state of Washington, so right across the border. But Justin actually worked with Damon in Texas on invasive plants. Then he moved back to Washington, where he was from, and was the executive director of the Washington Invasive Species Council. And now he's running the Aquatic Species Program in Washington. And so there's not a whole lot of people with that background that Justin has, where he has seen, he's worked with plants, he's worked with policy at, you know, at almost a governor's level office, and now he's running the Aquatic Species Program. And so getting somebody with, and I could go through every one of the speakers and tell a story like that about them, but somebody like that, that has seen a bunch of the different angles and can then talk to the audience about how you do things and how you make it successful. And that's what we're looking for out of all these speakers.
It is an impressive lineup of presenters. And there is one wrinkle with this that's a little more unusual than many conferences. There is an application form. It's not just simply a matter of registering. So walk us through that in brief about what that's about, why it's implemented, and how to navigate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a pretty simple process. You fill out a form, you tell us who you are and why you want to come to this. And we did that because we wanted to make sure that we had the right people here. And so it's not to be exclusive or you know, not opening to anybody, but instead of just, hey, go register for this conference and we'll take your money, we wanted to make sure that the people that were coming had the right background, had the right interest, and had the right focus in order to make it. Because coming to an event like this is not just about sitting in the room and listening to the speakers. Part of it is about the people you meet in the room and how you interact with them. And so we wanted to make sure that we had the right diversity geographically, interest-wise, and knowledge-wise, that you would have somebody who just knew about things locally, as well as somebody that may work at a higher level and have a thing. But we also didn't want it just to be the people that could afford to come. We wanted it to make sure we had a good group of people there.
So based on our earlier conversations as well, though, it'd be safe to say you'd be encouraging of people to fill out the application.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we are going to cap registration at some point. And we've got a little bit of flexibility even on what that point is, because it can't be too big, but at the same time, we want to definitely encourage people to come to apply and to attend. And the hope is that we're going to be doing this in other places, in the future and be more opportunities. But for your audience especially, we definitely want y'all to come because y'all are local. And if we do it next time, it won't be in Idaho. It'll probably be in the Eastern United States somewhere. And so for the people listening today, if you've got an interest, especially if you work for a nonprofit or government organization doing this kind of work, you may know nothing about invasive species, but you may want to learn more about invasive species and also how to build capacity. I mean, it's not just for invasive species specialists. We want to make sure that those volunteer coordinators and those, nonprofit groups and the local friends of groups are included in this, because those are the people that make the difference. And so it's about giving them more skills to help them make more of a difference.
Well, as we start to wind things down, what have we missed? What would you like to let our listeners know that we haven't touched base on?
The main thing I guess I would say is if you go to invasivesfree.org, that's got all the information that we've talked about today. You can also go to wildspotter.org, and there's a link very prominent on that website. So it's invasives with an S, free.org or wildspotter.org. Either one, you can find out more information about it. And my contact information is on both of those websites as well. So they're welcome to reach out to me, and I will, I'll probably put you in touch with somebody in my office that can answer more of the questions than I can. But but yes, feel free to reach out. I love Idaho. I'm looking forward to coming back and helping to make this a success. And so thank y'all for listening and learning more about me and about what we're doing. And I just hope that, if anything, my passion has come through for this and how much, I care about us trying to find a way to do a better job of managing invasive species in the United States. And that's not saying that there's not a lot of great things going on, but I think there's some good ways we can improve them. And that's what we're hoping to accomplish with this.
Well, very good. If you're just tuning in, this is the KRFY Morning Show, and we've been talking with Chuck Bargeron, Director and Senior Public Service Associate with the Center for Invasive Species and Ecosystem Health at the Warnell School of Forestry and Natural Resources out of the University of Georgia. We've been covering the Wild Spotter Invasive Species Ambassador Training Course coming up December 3rd to 5 this year, 2023, in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And if you just tuned in or missed any part of it or want to listen to more, there will be a podcast available here at krfy.org later on this afternoon or soon. Thank you for joining us this morning, Chuck.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed it.